Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Marilyn York joins us, the men's rights attorney. It's a great show. Stick around for the whole show on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program Marilyn York, the men's rights attorney. Pleasure to have you back here.
Thank you, Sam. Happy to be here as always.
TEDx. You're going to give a TEDx talk.
Yes.
For those that don't know what this is, what is it and what are they putting you through to give a talk?
So I'm probably not the best person to tell you what a TEDx is, but if you Google it and get on YouTube and watch them, you'll see a pattern. It's supposed to be a unique message or a unique perspective on a message. It's the shortest, best talk of your life. They're under 14 minutes by trade, and typically our UNR professor likes them under 12 minutes. So in 12 minutes, you have to deliver something very succinct and interesting and unique as far as a perspective goes. Usually they're done without slides, although slides are sometimes incorporated, but most of the time you're just on a stage talking for your succinct 12-minute speech.
And occasionally these things can go viral.
So that's the intent and always the desire of anyone putting on the TEDx platform. You certainly want your message to resonate well enough where people share it, and that's of course the goal. And then the few unique and special people get invited to the real TED Talks. Usually they come out, or often they come out of TEDx platforms if you get enough hits on your viewing. So that's, of course, the goal. The process is extremely rigorous compared to what I thought I was signing up for.
For example?
Well,
I mean, it's a 12-minute talk.
I know. I've done a lot of public speaking, so I didn't feel overly concerned with the process until I got into it. And then once you get in, you're trapped. So you apply sometime in August, the deadline is, and the application isn't particularly grueling this time, although I filled out the wrong application because that's how smart I am. And that one was so hard, I put it off for a month because it asked you, and it limited your amount of words, so then I got stuck. I can't limit my amount of words. It already trained you to be succinct. And it would ask you, like, tell a story in like 250 characters, not words, characters, that resonates who you are. I'm like, I can't be succinct. That's my story. Like, I'm done. So anyway, when I finally finished it, I realized it was like the 2016 application. So the application currently is not overly rigorous, but then a committee has to sit down and decide that you're worthy of, you know, being on the stage, and it's by topic and of course experience. You have to attach documents showing your speaking in the past if you have them, and certainly most of us do. And then they choose you. Then each month you have something required of you. The first month was just an idea sheet. They give you questions, you answer. The next month you have to submit your entire script and then physically show up and read it to them. And then a committee of around 15 people the first time then give you constructive criticism on the spot, and you can't take notes, which is really uncomfortable for me. And they help you narrow your topic and better explain it. It was actually a wonderful process. I wish someone would do this for all my legal writing. I mean, it's like this free committee of brilliant people who are kind and positive and give you this amazing feedback, but it's also overwhelming and embarrassing because it's your personal, you know, story. If you're doing a TEDx talk, it's super personal to you. So it's weird. And I'm always afraid there's haters in the crowd. I have, you know, a contingent of haters. I'm
like, occasionally,
yeah. Yeah, I earned. Someone's going to do it. But they were great. And then it took me maybe 10 hours the first time to revise the script. And then the next month I did the same thing with a committee of 30. Different people than the first time, sometimes a few of the same, which is nice because they can see how you've evolved. This one was a lot harder. I got in a yelling fight with one of the women in there.
Because?
Surprise. Surprise. She didn't like my topic or, you know, the message that I'm sending, but it's a real message. It's true. Of course she doesn't like it.
What's the topic?
So essentially my topic is, what has 20 years of representing men in divorce taught a woman about fatherhood? And it's very pro-fatherhood, and it's full of statistics that support the fact that fathers are crucial in the upbringing of their children. And she's raising children without a father and doesn't like that message. Well, it's not my data, lady. It's not my message. It's real data. I have kids I'm raising without dads. It sucks. It's horrible. I don't like to think about these statistics either, but they're real. You can't change them. All we can do is try to help our kids overcome them. But pretending they aren't real isn't going to make it true. I mean, that's the problem. That's probably how we got here, is thinking moms can do it all by ourselves. And we are, but we're not doing a bang-up job, sadly. And people keep saying, well, what about mothers? How do kids turn out without mothers? I don't know, because moms are in the picture a lot more than dads. And are moms crucial? Absolutely. But honestly, the statistical data out there with kids that grow up without moms is not nearly as horrible as it is with kids that grow up without dads.
All right, so give us an example.
So 90% of all homeless and runaway kids come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides, 71% of high school dropouts, the mental institutions with kids in them, the prisons, everything that, you know, 90% of those kids come from fatherless homes. That's not true for kids that come from motherless homes. And there's, of course, way less custodial fathers to compare the data. There's like a million custodial fathers in the U.S. total. And there's like 8 or 9 million custodial mothers. So we have less data, but it just isn't as substantial. I'm sure they have emotional issues, but they aren't ending up in prisons. And they aren't committing suicide. And they aren't dropping out of high school. And so even affluent families, if you compare a two-parent household in a poor family to a one-parent household in an affluent family, the kids perform 3 times better from the two-parent home. So it even bridges the poverty gap, which is surprising to me because poverty, of course, dictates a lot of disadvantages, unfortunately. So it's really interesting data, and it makes people mad, as usual. People don't like to hear that things are harder for their kids. I don't like it, but it's true. So
have you already started seeing within your daily work the effects of writing the speech?
I have really, really been happy with the process. It makes me more precise. It made me relearn my profession kind of on the back end, because I thought of the topic. It was an easy topic for me. And sure. Then I had to write it. I'm like, what the hell have I learned about fatherhood? Like, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to, in a TEDx context, figure out why what I've learned is so remarkable. And they were really good about saying, your expertise is as an attorney. Don't forget who you are. You're not a psychologist. You're not a teacher. You know, you don't work in a prison. You're a lawyer. So from a lawyer's perspective, what have you learned? But then combine that, you know, expertise with your personal life. Like, I'm a mom. I have 3 kids. They have 3 different dads. Just own it. That taught me a lot. I live my work every day, you know. Own the fact that your dad runs the business into your practice and you have a complicated relationship. Like, all of those dynamics together are what gave me this expertise. And I've been doing it 20 years now, so that gives me the unique perspective. I don't know another woman in the United States representing men in divorce. And so because of that unique perspective and practice, and I have 9 female employees, it's given me a name for myself. That's why Hollywood keeps messing with me and wanting to, like, include my perspective / story in TV shows. One of these days, one of those is going to happen. Right when I'm old and look like beef jerky on TV. So I have to be on a diet because I don't want to be fat on the TEDx stage and I'm vain. I'm not above it. And I gained weight being stressed out last summer. I'm like, not, there's a lot of lights on that stage. And of course you hope it goes viral. I mean, that's their goal. And it's great. It's one of the few places where I will be serious. You know, often I'm being a jerk. And when I go on TV, it's like Daniel Tosh, where I'm totally being, you know, slapstick. So it'll be nice to represent our profession and my perspective on fathers in a very serious and well-reasoned context.
Yeah, but you've been heading into a more serious direction anyway, because the last appearance on this program, it was a whole different Marilyn.
Well,
than
you
I'd
saw
seen before.
My dark face. I was dark.
No, it wasn't dark.
That's
it,
dark.
It,
for
it was
me.
Reality.
It is, and I do have moments where I'm more serious. Obviously, I'm serious in court most of the time, but I don't like being serious. It's exhausting, and in this world, it's depressing sometimes. But it's necessary, and I do have a unique perspective that's important to share from a serious point of view.
Okay, so as you went through all of this, was it like psychotherapy for you? Or do you think you need psychotherapy after this?
Oh, who doesn't need it? But I'm incurable. I think it was actually just intellectually stimulating for me and really welcoming. Like I said, I wish I had this committee in particular is incredible. I don't know why these people spend so much energy on me, who doesn't matter. They're so smart and they give such a variety of feedback that it took me 21 hours to revise my next script. I mean, it's a 12-minute speech. How does it take 21 hours to revise? And it does. It did. I mean, I get stuck on the most basic word, and I say it out loud. And one of the things they require is you read the TEDx book on how to do a TEDx speech, which was really helpful. It literally told you, if you're going to do a speech, don't write it down and then speak it. Speak it, record it, and then transcribe it back to the written form. Because none of us talk the way we write.
Correct.
We don't talk as formally. And people tune out when they're listening to formal speeches written in the written word. And that was so helpful and interesting and obvious. And yet I did competitive speech in high school and college. And now at 44, I learned how to give a speech. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Thanks, TEDx. It's so cool. So I have to do it Friday on video in front of a committee of maybe 50 people on the stage. And so I've been panicking about that because no notes, or they'll literally kick you out. I mean, that's the thing I didn't mention. If you don't perform at the level they expect at each phase, they kick you out. Like, they can cut you at any point. And so the whole world knows I'm doing it. I've been advertising for them. How embarrassing if they're like, loser, you are inadequate. So,
to go back to your previous point, people don't speak in paragraphs, which is how you write. They speak in phrases.
And sentences. And
right.
You're right.
Well, I mean, not even sentences necessarily. Right. I mean, for the most part, people speak in phrases, two or three words at a time with pauses in between. Nobody writes like that unless they know that.
We don't use full words. You know, our words assimilate into the next word because I had a phonetics background in college. And they made us phonetically transcribe words in sentences compared to single words. And it's very different. It's shortened. They all flow together. And so I tried to use conjunctions throughout because to fit it in 12 minutes is tight. My topic is extremely complex for a 12-minute speech. So I had to cut everything I could. So I went through. I'm like, I sure say that a lot. Cut, right. Rememorize. So when I give it on the 31st, they'll critique me and it's memorized. Then I have to rewrite it and memorize it again, which is hard for my old lady brain. I mean, I finally have it down and I'm gonna have to re-memorize it. That's gonna suck, but I have a month. So I just sit on the Stairmaster and look like a crazy person reciting my speech at Lake Ridge. Sorry.
Let's take a pause, we'll come back. Good luck with this. The end.
Thank
and,
you.
And as we're taping this, we're at the end of January, so you've got a full month to still go. So
yes,
you'll come
I will
back
use
and
it.
You will come back and report to us on this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. More with Marilyn York.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Marilyn York, the men's rights attorney and potential TEDx speaker, but we still have a month to
I
go.
I could be cut.
So you started a column for the local newspaper, the Reno Gazette Journal.
Yes.
What was the most surprising question so far?
I get a lot of questions that are incomplete. Like, people literally feel like judges and humans are psychic. So those are the questions that are like half questions all the time. And then I have to keep emailing them and try to get them to flesh out their whole question. And they want to ask me relationship questions, you know, like, I'm not attracted to my girlfriend. What should I do? I'm like, what? Get a new girlfriend. Is this a real question? You know, and some of them, the saddest ones are the ones that are in extreme distress, of course. Like, they're being beat physically or they have alcohol and drug abuse at home. And they ask me these heartfelt questions. And I think they're really important to share. And then at the end they say, please don't share this. He'll kill me. But can you answer this question? So I do answer it because it breaks my heart and I have some advice to give. But the overarching theme is just the same theme I see in my office, is that people don't have the courage to do what they need to do, and they know the answer. They're asking me questions they don't need me to answer. They need me to give them enough courage to do it. You know, they're in a bad situation and they know they shouldn't stay, but they're afraid of the next step. And whether I give them enough information where they, you know, get the courage to leave, I don't know. But I try, and that's certainly, it's obvious they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't have been there for the last 10 years. It's not a legal question.
All right. So, I mean, do we really differentiate between the leaders and the sheep in life in terms of the population?
Well, we should. But right, thank God there's both, because I always say, right, not everybody's an employer. You know, we need employees. We need people of all varieties. Recently, my daughter's been getting into some trouble, and she was my good kid, as I call her, so I had a heart attack, and hopefully she doesn't watch this show, but I literally have told all the parents, thank God. I was seriously worried about her. She was spending her whole life making others happy and being so compliant that I'm like, she's going to be eaten by this universe. It's great to have a kid that way because they're easy to raise, but you know, as an adult, she's going to get eaten. So the best thing that happened is she started pushing the boundaries and testing limits and actually exploring the world for herself and resisting authority. It's the first indicator of future success. It sucks as a parent. I don't want to raise her because she's a nightmare and I'm trying to reel her in. But man, I'm so excited secretly. I'm like, thank God, this one's got spirit. So yes, we don't differentiate, but we should. And these are the indicators of possible thriving in the world that's tough.
And if a child doesn't rebel, you've actually got a real problem.
No, especially a girl. I mean, there is a difference. She's more vulnerable.
Oh, no, boys too.
Sure, but the girls are more vulnerable to being victimized, and that's what we worry about. You know, like, we're in a debate. She's like, why can't I go to a high school party? Dad says I can. I'm like, Dad hasn't been date raped. Dad doesn't know what it feels like to be date raped. I mean, those are the differences. I'm sorry. It's not that boys don't have risks. Of course they do. But with girls, you worry about victimization legitimately if you're being aware.
Have we gone too far with Me Too?
Yes. We went too far day two. Is it an important message? Absolutely. It's absolutely important. I love what's come of it. I love, you know, the Bombshell movie, and those messages are really important. And there have been real issues for a long time, but Me Too was ridiculous from the front end. And it's not Me Too's fault. It's the stupid people that take it too far because men flirted with you. Oh my God, shut up. It's not about that. It's not about the basic things that people do that offend. It's not about being overly offended. It's about straight up sexual harassment and blackmail and extreme conduct. You know, we've all been through it. I've certainly had my share of it. I was 22 when I became an attorney in Los Angeles, in the top of the food chain. I worked in the Hollywood movie star, like, divorce world as a 22-year-old, 5'10" blonde female. Do you know what that was like? It was insane. All my bosses were in their 60s. They were all Jewish. They were all very, very sexist. Broad was my name at work. Sit on my lap, baby, honey. I didn't care. I'm not saying that we should be treated like that, but I did not care. Like, I represent men. My skin is this thick. I don't. And
for those on the radio, that was about 4 inches.
Yes, exactly. That's true.
But I mean, when you look at Hollywood, you look at the fashion world, you know, sex has been the biggest player in all of those forever.
It's true. And that industry, unfortunately, objectifies women by its necessity. And so it brings out other things. Same with acting. You know, it is objectifying the person on screen. They are attractive. They're scantily clothed. They're flirty, you know. And I'm not saying it's okay, but it's hard to figure out the boundary. It's not as clean as like a courtroom or a classroom. It's just blurred because of that. And people act stupid, women included, you know, and then they want to feign full victimhood after the fact. Well, what did they do? You know, some of them were actual victims and handled themselves perfectly. The industry has changed too. The expectations are different. And so it's hard to adapt with the expectation as it changes. It's hard for men to know where the boundary is. And it's quite clear where the boundary is in some instances. But, you know, I mean, the intoxication question, of course, we had that recently with the big scandal. You know, they had sex, she was too drunk. Well, he was too. I mean, that's the problem. If you're both that drunk, then you should be careful not to be that drunk. I mean, how come men get held to this perfect standard when they're completely blitzed, but she is too, and she gets protected and he doesn't? I mean, apparently, and I've never been drunk, I know that's surprising, but apparently you act the same when you're drunk. It just takes down your inhibitions, and so
correct.
Your guard's down. So maybe she is more flirtatious that way and he's more aggressive. It doesn't make his behavior okay, but that's the way they're going to act, and then they take their inhibitions down. This is why I'm pro, please don't ever use a substance to my kids. I know it's not realistic. I've learned that recently, apparently. But I say that. You lose control. Like, you may get out of a situation only because you're sober. Like, no good comes of losing control and being, you know, not aware of your environment. So it's something people should be aware.
And just briefly, if it weren't for the lack of control, then a lot of us wouldn't be here on the planet.
Well, there's that. My parents are super boring.
We'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers with Marilyn York, the men's rights attorney. We've only got a couple of minutes left here, but you are definitely interested in the politics of the family court races.
It's the only thing I care about, which is short-sighted and important. We only have two contested races this year, but our family court is super new. It's like kindergarten. All those judges are new, and it's a really great bench. We've been so lucky compared to Vegas that we don't have all the controversy of other benches, but it's very important. I think it's like 60% of cases that go before the court are family court cases. We touch a huge amount of the population, so who our judges are matter. So we have an incumbent race with Judge Robb running against Aaron Boucher. Aaron Boucher is the one that had the spray paint signs. For those of you that might remember, years ago he ran against Dixie Grossman and lost. Judge Robb has her issues. People get upset about her. She has her bedside manner questions, but she's smart and she has a good heart and she does a good job and she needs to stay. We need her. She's got a business background. She's one of our, you know, diverse judges as far as her background, and she does some business stuff. But I'm sorry, Mr. Boucher is not bench material when it comes to being prepared for court. He's just not. He's a nice person, love him to death, but he is not of the caliber that we need on our bench.
Okay, we've got about 30 seconds.
And then Paige Dollinger is the person that's running for the open seat that's being left by Weller's retirement. And she is the juvenile judge right now sitting in criminal court. She's great. I've known her since high school. She's one of my actual friends. Huge heart. She'll be a huge asset to the bench. Who cares if it's more women than men? Who cares? Men ran the world. If I hear that again, I'm going to punch someone, and I represent men. Who cares? Women are not pro-female. Do not fool yourself.
And this is where we conclude Endorsements with Marilyn York, your new show.
Short and sweet.
Always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
Come back after the TED Talk.
If I'm still on the panel.
Even if you're not.
We'll
that might be even a better story.
Might fail.
Always love having you.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye catches its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.